In any study of the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, it is imperative that we understand how the kingdom comes. How the kingdom comes. Now, the scripture is quite plain that when Jesus comes, his coming will in effect be instantaneous, in a very short period of time, and every eye shall see him. And some people have made the mistake of assuming that that is the way the kingdom comes. But we have abundant evidence in the scripture that the kingdom comes slowly and in effect without observation by most of the people of the earth. We were reading in Mark 4 last week, so get your Bible and turn with me again, and we'll read that and other related scripture that tells us the kingdom comes slowly. It grows from a very small beginning until it finally, as Daniel described, the stone that was cut out without hands, it would grow and fill the whole earth. In Mark 4, verse 26 through 29, Jesus describes the kingdom of God. And he said, "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep, and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how." In other words, there is a period of time. The man goes to sleep, he rises up, night and day passes, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First, the blade, and that would mean the small little beginning of the seed, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Again, this, as other scriptures show, that as the kingdom grows, it takes time, and finally, when the kingdom is full, in other words, when the actual seed or fruit of the kingdom is there, then comes the harvest time. Now, that fits what Christ told the Pharisees in Luke 17. And one of these verses is perhaps one of the most misinterpreted and mispreached verses of the scripture by the so-called fundamentalists about the kingdom. This is Luke 17, verses 20 and 21. And when he, or when Christ, was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation." And the margin of that shows an alternate translation could read, "The kingdom of God cometh not with outward show." Again, showing that the kingdom is not noticed by most of the people on the earth. Now, those who say the next verse, verse 21, means the kingdom is a spiritual kingdom inside Christians, and let's read that, "Neither shall they say, Lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." And they say, "Oh, that means it's a spiritual kingdom, that's why it comes without outward show." But these same ministers turn around and tell you, "Oh, when you're born again, that means the kingdom of God is within you, and that's why you change your ways, you have a new life, you become a Christian, and you drop off all of your old sins." Well, that would be an outward show, and that is literally true. When a person becomes a Christian, a true born-again Christian, he changes his life, he drops his old habits, in many cases he actually drops his old friends, he quits committing the sins he was committing, and he becomes a new creature. There is an outward show, or there is an observable difference. Christ is not talking about that kind of change. Christ is talking about the kingdom of God. And he says it comes without observation or without outward show. And he said to these Jewish Pharisees in verse 21, "Behold, the kingdom of God is within you," and there is also an alternate translation in the margin which says, "The kingdom of God is among you." Well, what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is a people, the kingdom people, the house of Israel. It consists of the laws, statutes, and judgments, or the laws of the kingdom, and it consists of the king. Well, if Jesus Christ was telling the Pharisees that the kingdom of God was within them, then our whole theory of Christ born in you is false. The Pharisees obviously were not born-again Christians. Yet it appears from the translation in verse 21 of Luke 17 that Christ was telling the Pharisees that the kingdom of God was within them. No, I believe the correct translation and meaning of that was the kingdom of God was among them, and the Israelites were among them, the law, statutes, and judgments were held by their priests, and Jesus Christ was among them. The kingdom of God was actually among the Pharisees, and they did not recognize it, just as today. Most people do not recognize the kingdom of God when they see it. The kingdom of God consists of a place, a people, laws, and a king. The only people and nation on this earth that were built out of those four things is the United States of America, the only nation established on God's laws, the only nation committed to Jesus Christ by covenant by our colonial forefathers. In their civil documents, they claimed Christ as the foundation of their colonies. And later, of course, this was transferred on in to the United States of America. The kingdom of God is right here on the earth. It is being built in America, and it cometh not with observation. Most of the people do not see it. Now that fits the prophets. And everything in the New Testament must fit the prophets, or we have a misinterpretation. If we have something in the New Testament that seems to be opposed to the prophets, as this so-called gospel of the spiritual kingdom is, then we are misunderstanding the New Testament. But if we understand that the kingdom of God was to be a place, a people, laws, and a king, then that fits what the prophet teaches. Turn back to Isaiah 16. You should read the entire chapter because you will then see its similarity to Revelation 21 and the story of New Jerusalem. Here in Isaiah 16, he tells the Israel people that thy light is come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. He describes it as a place in verse 9 where the ships of Tarshish would come first. We have shown in previous broadcasts that Tarshish on the old maps was southern Spain. That's where Columbus sailed to the New World. He also said in verse 13, the glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine tree, and the box tree together. Great and wonderful forests would be in this place where Israel would come, where God's light would be upon them. And it says this glory of Lebanon would be there to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. It would be the place where God would place his sanctuary, where Christ would be planted as the stone. The name of the place is given in the next verse, the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Was it to come suddenly in the twinkling of an eye? Now I know preachers say, well, Christ is going to take the Christians off the earth for 3.5 or 7 years, and then he's going to come back and destroy the wicked and set up his kingdom. No, his kingdom is already set up. It is awaiting its cleansing, but it is here. Now, in Isaiah 60, he describes the slow, almost unobservable growth of this city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. In verse 22, a little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. The kingdom was to come without observation. The vast majority of the peoples of the earth, and apparently the vast majority of professing Christians, would not even recognize the kingdom of God as it was planted as a tiny mustard seed and would grow to a great tree, and the fowls of the air, or the evil, wicked sons of the devil, would actually come and lodge in it, according to another one of the parables of Matthew 13. And in verse 21 of Isaiah 60, it is identified not as some far-off spiritual kingdom in heaven, and not as some spiritual kingdom in your heart, but a land. Verse 21, thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. And I reminded you before, you can write and ask for a free copy of this 200-year-old sermon we are giving away in March, in which the minister is preaching about the civil rulers being God's ministers, and he tells these colonial legislators that they are ruling over the branch of God's planting. And he quotes Isaiah 60 to identify these people in America as the people of the Lord living in Zion, the holy city. Yes, the United States of America is the branch of God's planting. We are the New Jerusalem, the city of the Lord. In Revelation 21 and 22, as the New Jerusalem is described, it is described in terms which can only fit a place on the earth. In the last part of Revelation 21, after he gives this amazing description of this city, which we're going to go into further, in another one of the parables in Matthew 13, he says in verse 24, "And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it." Yes, people will be able to come and go from the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel, the kingdom of God upon the earth. Where is it? Well, it has to be here on the earth. The teaching that the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is a spiritual something in your body or in your mind or heart, or that it's a place off in heaven, simply does not fit the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation is the promise that Christ will rule in a kingdom of God upon the earth. And these parables we have been studying in Matthew 13 identify that kingdom as a place, a nation, a land, and a people called the children of the kingdom who have planted Christ in the beginning of that nation, but who have been occupied by tares, or the children of the devil, who must be removed, so that then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who had ears to hear, let him hear. Matthew 13, verse 43. This is Pastor Sheldon Emery. Write for that 200-year-old sermon. Your free copy will be sent to you. The announcer will give the address. Until tomorrow, goodbye. God bless you and Christian Israel in America.